Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Just Wednesday morning here. Midweek prep, and excited for a good day.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And Clark, obviously things didn't go the way you planned against ETSU, and now that you've had some time to digest it, what do you think led to the performance that we saw, and what's your message to the team in terms of moving past that game and improving as you look ahead to Colorado State here?
I think it's a situation where, you know, we have to learn how to win. We have to learn how to take our preparation and apply the details in our performance to stare down adversity in the middle of the game, and rather than withdraw from that, we have to take the fight to the opponent. And it just felt like, I was reminded of how far we have to go in this journey, you know, how early in on it we are, but also after reviewing the film and having a chance to meet with the guys on Monday, feel like there's so many little things that we can do to help improve our performance to give us access to success this season. And, you know, it's a tough lesson, but it's important learning for our program. And I think ultimately an important moment for everyone here to understand, that we have to find another level, and it's not just going to happen because we're working harder than we did in the past. We're not entitled to an outcome. You know, we have to go out and earn it on Saturdays, and we weren't able to do that. And hats off to ETSU. They executed their game plan. You know, they got us in a position where, in the second half of that game, our margin for error was so small. They limited our possessions on offense. And, you know, once they were able to get a lead, they were able to hold on to the ball. And that's a formula we hope to deploy ourselves, so we can learn from it in that sense too. You know, it doesn't matter where your talent is; it's about performance. And every Saturday, we have a chance to outperform our opponent, and that's where our focus needs to be.
So, Clark, with a group like this, especially obviously the kids who you inherited, who didn't have any success last year, had a tough 2019 for those who were there that season. Do you worry about being able to keep morale up after a performance like that, and what have you seen in terms of response around the building since Saturday?
Well, you know, worry about it is maybe not the way I'd phrase it. I mean, it's something that I'm giving attention to. This is it's a bit of a traumatized group, and I think specifically, the expectation was that that we were going to win on Saturday. I think the problem was there was an expectation that East Tennessee State was going to cooperate in that effort, and that we have to understand that it's never going to be easy. It's always going to be hard, and it's always going to be through adversity for us. And so, I felt like there was a moment in the second quarter when they scored a touchdown where it's 7-3, where you sensed kind of like this fear of the end result steal our spirit and enthusiasm. And that's the point at which, you know, we have to make an eye contact on the sideline, and we have to go and take what we want and have a deep-seated belief in the fact that, you know, we're going to win and it's going to happen. And that's how we have – that's the confidence we have to speak to each other. You know, we had a chance to meet and debrief on Monday. I had some meetings on Sunday. I really want these guys to feel supported. You know, this is why I came here. This is exactly why I came back to Vanderbilt, is for this moment. And I want them to feel supported, and yet I want them to understand that we're not going to, we're not going to allow self-pity to define this program. This is about setting our jaws, learning from what our mistakes were, learning from the things that we can take, how we grow to another level within the program, and moving on and moving forward. And I thought yesterday's practice was at times what it needed to be, and at other times I felt like we were not pushing deeper into our the commitment to our values, just that idea that we're going to take this further than we did the week before, and find another level. And, you know, I communicated that when it was needed. But this is about, every day is about evolution. It's every day about moving forward, about getting this program where it needs to be, and we'll get there. So it's not something we worry about, but it's something we give our attention to, and we will, you know, we'll have a great chance on Saturday to measure up again and hopefully be a little bit further along than we were a week ago.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Clark, with that in mind, as you look ahead to Colorado State here, what's your message to Ken Seals and Mike Wright in this offense in terms of the points of emphasis trying to execute better come Saturday night when you take on Colorado State?
We can't self-sabotage drives. We have to know the protection. You know, like, you know, we had a drive kind of stall out. We were second and three on the 29-yard line moving the ball, and we let a single pressure off the edge go unblocked to the quarterback, and you know, that set up a third down and long with a quarterback that had a little bit of a banged-up shoulder after the play. And it just, you know, those are the things we can't do, the pre-snap penalties, you know. And then at the quarterback position, just better decision-making pre-snap for where we're going to go with the ball. I mean, there's a formula we use to determine whether the ball's handed off or thrown on the perimeter. And these guys are very capable. So, some of that is first game nerves. Some of that is first game in a new system. And quite honestly, some of that needs to be coached better. I mean, this isn't just player issue. We're a new staff. And so that was our first time in the fire together. And I think, coming out of it, there's accountability in all areas, and there is no quick fix. You know, we don't all of a sudden become just a different team than we were on Saturday. We have to pinpoint these areas the competitive mindset in the moment of adversity, be it, you know, the way we read the box and determine where to go with the ball, be it the way we run routes. You know, let's stack our go routes and give our quarterback a little more room to throw the ball. And at the quarterback position, let's put a ball in the air that we give our receivers, our big, tall, you know, physical receivers, a chance to catch. You know, those are things that we're focusing on in practice that will allow for us to unlock a higher level performance. Some of that is just accountability and ownership. Know the protection. You know, be clear in our communication. This isn't complicated stuff. This is fundamental stuff. You know, some of it is, taking the attention needed in practice to really own the pass offs up front, and to make sure our protection, make sure we're giving a solid cup to the quarterback so we can throw the ball confidently. Some of it's a little more nuanced and fundamental technique, but it's all things that we can improve on. So that's where we are with it, and we'll stay there, and that won't change until the end of the season. That's how we unlock an explosive offense that can put points on the board. And we just happen to not be where we needed to be on Saturday for the result we wanted.
You mentioned yesterday, Clark, that you're going to do the same thing at quarterback. So Ken Seals starting at Colorado State, Mike Wright will play in the game as well. As you evaluate their play, but also the situation, if you struggle with protection this year, as happened in the first game, I guess, is there a case to be made that, like, a Mike Wright at least gives you more escapability or more quarterback run things to try to neutralize that, or is that going too far after one game?
Well, first of all, like, I would anticipate doing the same. I think we have to get a feel for kind of how the week plays out and what this, you know, how the offense is clicking around the plan. You know, I would anticipate both guys playing. Ken's our starter. You know, Mike would come in. He's earned the right to come in, but he's kind of the counterpunch right now of the two. To your point, I think, you know, there's two things that you look at. First of all, we have to shore up our protection. We're better than what we displayed on Saturday, and so we will be better. However, that's not to force the issue either. You know, there are things that you can do to neutralize pass rush, including snap count variants that requires discipline. If you watch Colorado State and South Dakota State play, I thought that South Dakota State did an incredible job managing the snap count, you know, going on multiple claps, and just the discipline up front to hang in there. And what happens defensively when you have a team that's bearing the snap count is you can't quite get your pressures timed up. You know, you might have a situation where a defensive end who's a good rusher is rocking back in a stance because he's unsure where the start is. And so, you know, that's something we can do just a little, again, a little more nuanced. And then beyond that, you know, it's about how we quickly make decisions at the quarterback position to get the ball out and in space. And so it's about open field access and where we can eliminate the need to hold on to the ball in the pocket for a long time. Like, let's get it out of our hand and let's get the ball in play and get the play moving. But to your point, I think Mike does add a sense of not escapability so much, but the quarterback run elements that can also help in a situation where we may be struggling to get you know, the passing game going. It's just another element of explosive play that he brings to the table that could be helpful in those situations. So there are a lot of things we can do. There are a lot of things that we're exploring to do, but the most important of which is just having a heightened focus on, again, the fundamental structures and the fundamental techniques that will allow us to protect the passer better.
Talking to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. Clark, you mentioned also yesterday that Joey Lynch, passing game coordinator, is calling the plays and not offensive coordinator David Wright. So when exactly did you make that decision, and why did you make that decision?
Well, there's a couple of factors for me. We made it after the first week of fall camp, just after the first scrimmage. You know, Joey has an extensive experience in calling plays. It's something he's done. He's got a good feel for it, and we wanted to lean on that experience. We felt like it strengthened our operation, and so that was the decision there. But the other thing is, you know, we feel like our receiver group can be really a featured group on our offense. You know, we have potential playmakers in that group, but we have some young ones too, guys like Will Shepard that are really getting their first, you know, taste of action. Devin Boddy's a young guy that we want to come along that, you know, we feel like can be a difference maker for us, and obviously we have some veterans there too, but to enable David to give his full attention to that group and to really, really bring the best out of them, which we're continuing to work on, we thought was important too. So that was the decision, and that was when it happened, and, you know, it's been kind of internally, full speed ahead. They still are collaborative. The plan is put together collectively, and David Rye's experience and his fingerprints are all over the offensive design. We just feel like Joey's experience on game day helps us in calling plays.
Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Clark, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck against Colorado State coming up on Saturday.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Clark Lee had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC takes on Montreal. Pregame starts at 6:45 and the match begins at 7 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Visit our brand new Mount Juliet location at 11400 Lebanon Road. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Clark Lee for joining us in the last segment. And it was interesting. Clark Lee, obviously things did not go well for Vanderbilt against ETSU. Some interesting comments by Clark Lee in that interview we just had with him, including talking about how the group was a bit traumatized, was the word that he used, based on the way 2019 went, obviously 0-9 last year, and talked about kind of having the expectation to win and how maybe internally with some of the players there was an expectation that East Tennessee State was going to cooperate in that, was the term that Clark Lee used, which is basically a fancy way of saying maybe ETSU would lay down a little bit because they were playing against an SEC team. As we saw, That was not the case with ETSU last Saturday night, and I think lots to be concerned about if you're a Vanderbilt fan and watch that game. It was not pretty at any point.
Also, there's a lot to be concerned about sometimes, how people struggle to read things. I mean, I'm looking at this like Austin Stanley. Clark Lee taking a big shot at his entire Vandy roster at the end of this. Like, there's just this crazy reaction right now to the quote. So I just tried to sum up the quote. What he was saying was, yeah, like the players probably thought it was going to be easy, and it wasn't, and they didn't react well, and they lost. So let me read the quote. Quote, it's a bit of a traumatized group. There was a bit of an expectation we were going to win Saturday. There was an expectation East Tennessee State was going to cooperate in that regard, end quote. I tweeted that out as he was talking. I thought it was a good quote. And I think maybe people are taking this like the coaches thought they were going to cooperate in that regard. That's not what he was saying. I asked him a question about the players, about how do you keep a team up that has not won? They were bad in 2019. They did not win a game last year. Now they lose this terrible game. How do you keep them together? So this is the problem again with Twitter. Because apparently people are reading this like, well, like Clark Lee thought, no, that, whatever, man. Twitter's stupid. My God.
Just got to listen to the interview. Context is important.
Well, and this is the problem with taking little segments of quotes from interviews, because it's like the Jared David Poyle thing, which Poyle was dunking on Jared a little bit, but it was taken as a 360 reverse flush in his face. And yes, he was saying, you don't know about this situation, not you don't know anything in the world
you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, so here we go. Whatever.
Well, the other part of it that was really interesting is the offensive coordinator part of this discussion, which, you know, we talked about a little bit before you and I during a break, before, you know, the Clark Lee interview happened. And it's interesting that, you know, David Rye has brought in to be the offensive coordinator, and before a game is played, he's not the one out there calling plays. And Clark Lee kind of detailed the process of how that decision came to be with the last segment here. And, you know, it's interesting that a decision like that is made before we actually see a game being played on the field. And it just, there's been a lot of reaction to that from Vanderbilt fans over the weekend since that was talked about after the ETSU game. And just a really interesting situation with Vanderbilt and the offensive coordinator, the play calling heading into the season before we even saw, you know, any evidence of what the play calling was going to look like.
Right. That's what's strange. Like, usually a play calling switch will be made after there's some play calling. You know, a play calling switch will be made like, okay, didn't like the play calling in this game, let's switch the play caller. This was made before there was, I mean, I understand, like, a weekend of camp, like, you have some sequencing and practice and things. You're doing some scrimmaging, so I guess you get a little bit of a feel for someone as a play caller, but I still feel like, isn't there a huge difference between that and an actual game situation, actual game day? It seems like,
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah, like quite a bit. So, yeah, now Joey Lynch has the play calling experience that David Rye does not have, so that makes sense. But I guess then why not do that right out of the gate, you know? I don't know. I don't know the answer. There's probably more, you know. I mean, Clark told us about, like, Rye working with the receivers, and he was hired as OC. He's also the receivers coach. I mean, that's a good group of receivers. But typically in these situations, there's something else that went on. There's something that went on that week in practice or whatever. That it's just it was very surprising to hear that yesterday. And, like, I definitely came away from that game not impressed with the play calling.
Sure.
And thinking, but they really need to. And to Clark Lee's credit, he also said, you know, this is also coaching them better, not just like this player has to do that player has to do that better. I guess I would, like, a reaction to this game makes sense, but it's interesting that this happened apparently a month ago.
Well, also interesting when you were talking about, you know, the quarterback position, Clark Lee anticipating that, you know, it's going to look similar to how it looked in game one with Ken Seals being the starter, but Mike Wright coming in and getting some significant playing time as well. But also said, you know, he's going to have to see how practice goes this week. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that role continues to develop for Mike Wright, because you've brought up, and you brought this up on Monday when we were talking about the immediate aftermath of this game. If you're not going to be protected as a quarterback and your line is going to struggle as much as they struggled against ETSU, what do you think is going to happen when you move into SEC play? Does it make sense for someone with a little bit more mobility in Mike Wright to be in there and at least give you a threat to run the ball as the quarterback, or to have a little bit more escapability, as you termed it there? I thought his response to the quarterback position was also very interesting. And I look, I'll be watching Saturday night to see what Vanderbilt does and how they respond. And I'll specifically be looking at the quarterback position. How do they handle that as they move into Colorado State here? It's going to be really fascinating to see.
Yeah. I mean, the Mike Wright brings you that element. And I think this offense needs every bit of help it can get, and a real quarterback run element would be helpful. But at the same time, I mean, we saw Ken Seals last year. In every week was against an SEC team, and he had some really good weeks.
He did.
And Ken Seals is a good player. When I watched Ken Seals a few different times during preseason camp, and he looked really good throwing the football. So, I mean, he made clear there, Ken Seals is a starter. Ken Seals gives you a better chance of a productive passing game right now than Mike Wright does. But, yeah, it's interesting. Now, and if things keep going poorly, then you get into, well, you just have to go with one and stop, you know, switching. You know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, yeah, all that stuff. But it's tough because, I mean, Mike Wright is a guy who he's as explosive a player as they have on the team. So, like, it's one of those things where it's a good problem to have if you're good. But if you can't win up front at all, and maybe it is as simple as there's just some mistakes that can be cleaned up and they can be a lot better. But if you can't win up front at all, then I don't know that it matters that much anyway. It's not going to go well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that front. And what does the response look like for Vanderbilt against Colorado State? I mean, obviously you just got punched in the mouth by ETSU. Colorado State losing in week one as well. So you're going out on the road. It's a 9 o'clock start coming up on Saturday night. You're in the altitude. It's a lot of interesting parts about this game, especially at the line of scrimmage. Can you show noticeable improvement? And you heard Clark Lee talk about it there. He said, you know, we're better than what we showed on the line against ETSU. Well, that's one thing to say that. You got to go out there and prove it. And I'm interested to see if they can prove that on Saturday night.
Twitter is so freaking stupid, and it's like every single like Vols media personnel is like, oh, you thought you Clark Lee thought UTSU was gonna lose? No, God, I hate Twitter. I need to just get off Twitter.
Well, I've told you that for months.
I know. Yeah. Well, we talked all quarterbacks and offense and stuff in this segment, but I think the most disappointing thing of that whole game was that ETSU just ran the ball on them.
Yep.
And then
at will.
And number two, I would say like that they couldn't get any run game going at them.
Yep.
I mean, that's a game where it's just like Tennessee has a lot of things to work on. It wasn't like a great performance, but they could count on running the ball right at Bowling Green, run it down their throats. And on the only way Bowling Green was going to move the ball on them was, you know, they had some wheel routes. They had a little pass game going in the second quarter. But that was it. Like in the trenches, it was domination.
Yep.
That should be the case for this Vanderbilt team right now against ETSU, and it wasn't.
Yeah, very concerning on that front. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on college football, including some possible expansion coming up for the Big 12. Is it really going to make a big difference for the Big 12 in terms of how they're viewed nationally? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Get your friends or family and play as a group and sign up to play today. Pick the three football underdog teams you think will win each week for a chance to win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app to sign up and play now. Silly Underdogs is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rexroad officially at this point engaged in a Twitter war on the Twitter sphere.
Well, it's not a Twitter war. It's like, okay, let me explain to you what that tweet meant. Let me explain to you what that tweet meant. And here, oh, you want one too? Here we go. I need to just type up a tweet, and then I need to just put Control C, and I just keep need to go Control V, Control V, Control V. I mean, Brian Rice, you know, I tell you what, here's one thing that this brings up, which I think is a beautiful thing. You can't tell me that Vol Twitter isn't a little bit obsessed with Vanderbilt, right? I mean, they, you know, I know it's not a great rivalry and all that stuff, but they're ready to pounce. They're enjoying this, as well they should, because that's what college football
rivalry
is about.
They enjoyed the heck out of it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Vol Twitter going on Saturday night when Vanderbilt was losing to ETSU.
Which is great. You know, like the most hurtful thing that you can say to an in-state rival is like, I don't care about you. I don't even think about you. And I think that was absolutely true for
a long time.
For decades, right?
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Like, you know, last game of the year, we'll beat you by 40. We care about Alabama's our rival. Florida's our rival. I mean, this is right now where things are in the programs. I feel like there's a lot more care about Vanderbilt from the Vol side, which is fun.
Agreed. Now, there was also the talk about Tennessee-Vanderbilt game through some eyes being a toss-up game, which I never bought into this year. And, you know, Tennessee's got a lot of work to do. I recognize that. But right now, I don't know that those two teams are all that close.
No, I would agree. Well, and look, even the last 2 years, they actually haven't been, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as badly, although 2019 was a pretty good year for the Vols, but like as badly as last year was with the Vols, they still thumped Vanderbilt. Like that's the amazing thing is going into 2019. So that means Vanderbilt had won 5 of 8 and had a pretty significant, like they had thumped them a few times. But now it's 2 years in a row of Tennessee really handling that game, and yeah, based on one game, granted, but. I think it's enough for me to feel like I don't think it's going to be a very good game this year either.
Joe, some more expansion news in the world of college football. Of course, we've talked a lot here on the show about Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC, and it appears that the Big 12 could have a response to Oklahoma and Texas leaving the conference. They are efforting Cincinnati, Central Florida, BYU, and Houston. To be the next group that joins the Big 12. So Cincinnati, obviously very near and dear to Ryan Poore's heart here on the program. BYU has been a good program the last few years. Houston, and what I believe is Houston still the fourth largest city in America? I believe it is.
I feel like we've talked about that, and I don't see why it would have changed.
I'm going to go with it.
Let's go with it.
Fourth largest city in America. So obviously a pretty attractive market. For a market that, let's be honest, probably already has a lot of attention towards the Big 12 anyway. But that has been the Big 12's response to this. Looks like Cincinnati, Central Florida, BYU, and Houston could join the Big 12. What do you think of this? Does this really change the landscape of the Big 12 all that much in terms of, even if we know without Oklahoma and Texas, the Big 12 is not really that much of a threat. When it comes to football, not that much of a threat in terms of the college football playoff. Without those two programs in most years, does this change that at all? Does it change the perception of the Big 12 if these four schools are added? What does this do in terms of how that conference is viewed in the world of college football as we move forward here?
Well, first of all, if this happens, and it looks like it is,
yep.
It really sucks for Memphis. Because I think Memphis has been a really good, strong program on the rise here for not that long, but, you know, we're talking 7-8 years that Memphis has been a program that deserves that kind of consideration too and would have really benefited if it was the other way around and the AAC was absorbing Big 12 schools.
Yep.
Well, they're going to be left out in the cold. But, I mean, I look at the Big 12, like, Porth is excited, you know, like Big 12, Cincinnati. Like I think Porth said, what it like we can't be called irrelevant or something like that yesterday, right? Well, you take Oklahoma and Texas out of the Big 12, you add BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF. And UCF, and that's also a recent a recent good program, but has been on a very good run. But, I mean, it's basically like it's a little bit better than the current AAC. I mean, it is.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing
with you. It's a little bit better than the current AAC. So, look, I would say, like, for a Cincinnati, yes, it's a step up, but don't pretend like you're a Power 5 team now. That's not a power. It's a Power 4. College football has become a Power 4. And the Big 12 used to be a power. Used to be the Power 5th team. Now they're the best of the next level.
Yeah. Well, and
which is what the AAC is now.
But all of a sudden, that Gus Bus back in some big-time college football, baby.
That's the thing. Like,
the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. So you look at the Big 12, and I also still would have questions about West Virginia to the ACC, although that seems to have cooled. You know, TCU has become a good program. Baylor, you know, well-documented. Baylor used to be like a doormat of a program forever.
Oh, yeah.
In the old Southwestern Conference and, you know, they've become decent. K-State, Oklahoma State. I mean, it's better. It's better than the AAC. Texas Tech. But it's you take out what Oklahoma and Texas do for that league. The whole thing about that league is what are the big games every year? What do those teams get excited about? Yeah, Baylor and TCU, that's a rivalry. But it's the excitement of, oh, Oklahoma's coming to town. Oh, we got the Longhorns. That's the thing. They brought so much value to that league, and now they're leaving. And so now the league is okay. I mean, it's a solid top of the second tier of college football league. So, I mean, I don't mean to, like, just pour cold water all over everything here, but
Let me ask you this. If this happens a year earlier, and let's say last year, this past offseason, UCF's going to the Big 12. Does Josh Heupel take the Tennessee job?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, again, like the long-term financial prospects for all these programs has taken a nosedive.
Yes.
I mean, TCU, Baylor, again, like these are pretty recently revived programs. And we know, again, Baylor's had been all over the place and had issues, and now they're kind of back, but like long term, these programs in the Big 12 are going to be way behind the Power Four financially. They were hanging in there because largely of Oklahoma and Texas. So if you're Josh Heupel, I understand you can say Big 12. There's a branding element to it that's a positive, but
he's a Big 12 guy.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like, so now he's going to go back home to the Big 12, and, Oklahoma's in the SEC. Well, I want to go back to the SEC then. No, I think he'd still take the Tennessee job.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. It sucks for Memphis. I mean, it's a honestly, they've been – I mean, Cincinnati's been a solid program for a lot longer. But going back to Fuente, I mean, they've really made some gains, and this was an opportunity for them to get into a better situation, and now they're going to be in a worse situation.
When we come back, it is time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair this week. It's a big deal coming up next. We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life, and then have a little fun on how we respond to those scenarios. As always, we welcome your participation. We encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today for The Choice is Yours. Michelle? This is a big day once again for you.
You're running everything today. You're running this. You're running the draft.
I know.
Running the world.
That's right.
Hey, I like the sound of that, Joe. Okay, so guys, what are we going to start with?
Sports? Let's go non-sports.
Non-sports.
Change it up a little bit.
Okay. If you could have any other profession or job
okay.
in the world, what would it be?
Any other job in the world outside of sports.
Unfortunately, because working in sports is the best, but
we love it.
Well, okay, yeah, so
I know what you're about to ask.
Is this outside the sports world altogether? Or just not media?
Not media. It could still be in the sports world.
I know what he's going to say.
What?
You going to be a PE teacher?
Well, I was going to say, like, a coach comes to mind. But if I could pick within media still, I would say play-by-play, even though I'd probably stink at it.
I would love to hear that.
But, yeah, I'd probably be terrible. But, like, that's, you know, it's like you grow up and you always pretend to be the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Ernie Harwell. So I don't know if that qualifies. Yeah, you say that qualifies, so I'd say play-by-play. But if not, I would say gone into coaching, which I'd probably be bad at that, too.
Joe, give us a call right now.
No, I can't do that.
it's not something that you demand.
I'll probably, you know, someone on Twitter will mistake what I said. And you know.
Yeah. Joe said he wants to be the head coach at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I'd like to be the CEO of Twitter if I could have another job. How about that?
You would block everyone.
And I would launch it into the sun, yes. As Robbie likes to say.
Yes, you would. I've thought about this before. I think one of my – and something that I considered at one time was being like a high school history teacher and then coaching like football or baseball mm-hmm. or something on the side. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
History, PE, whatever. But I think obviously I would like to coach PE. And just be a PE teacher, but
dodgeball every day.
It'd be a lot of dodgeball. A lot of dodgeball. Kids don't get enough dodgeball nowadays.
I agree.
Every now and then, you just need a good dodgeball in the face. It kind of keeps you in check.
I agree. But, everyone's too sensitive.
Yeah, just get a little dodgeball in the face. But I'd probably go history teacher. I like history.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that. Speaking of high school, I have to say it. I told my sisters I would. First day of high school today.
Wow.
Oh, shout out.
Shout out, Bellantina. First day.
So that's cool that they got the extra day after Labor Day. They didn't have to go right back on Tuesday. They get the extra day.
Yeah, you okay. get that little mental health post-holiday.
Yeah, there you go.
Before school. So shout out to them. But I think, Robbie, I might go the same path as you, but I would want to be a professor.
Okay.
And teach.
So going
like,
to college.
teach journalism or like sports media and teach kind of what we do.
Okay.
Which I still might do someday. So
there you go.
I still have time, guys.
Oh, yeah. You got plenty of time.
I like it. I don't know if you'll ever have a better job than commissioner of our fantasy football league.
That's true.
But,
obviously, that's number one, but I mean, I'm going to do that tonight, right?
So. Christopher on Periscope says that he could see me doing that, being a teacher.
See that, too.
You know, I could kind of see it, but like the youth of America in my hands is also probably a scary thought, too.
Well, they need to be shaped up a little bit.
That's true.
Everybody would request Robbie as a teacher. Okay, sports.
Maybe for a minute.
If you could be a D1 athlete at any school,
okay.
which school would it be and which sport would you play?
Oh, D1 athlete, any school, any sport. You know, I grew up playing baseball. And, I played baseball for like 17 years. So a lot of baseball. Honestly, I mean, I would probably go play for Tim Corbin. Like, if I was a baseball player and baseball was my sport, which it was, I'd probably go play for Tim Corbin.
A Tennessee fan.
I know.
You got Tony Vitale over here in Knoxville.
I know.
And you're going to play for Corbin at Vanderbilt.
Well, let's think about the programs for a second. I love me some Tony V. Friend of the show, by the way. Tony V. But yeah.
Not anymore, Robbie.
Yeah. Well, man, just lost that.
Okay, that's
Vandy boys, Robbie.
I mean, the easy answer for me is, yeah, I'd go play wide receiver at Tennessee, right? But you know, I was a split end in a wing tee offense that caught one ball every 8 games, so that wasn't really realistic for me. I was a pretty good baseball player, I'd go Vandy.
None of this is realistic. I mean, that's what I'm counting on because I'm going to go play quarterback for Alabama and get like 7 figures in
NIL deal. That helps too.
Right?
Maybe I should have said football.
That would, I mean, no.
Point guard for Duke.
Well, I will say that would probably be it. Like it would be basketball.
Kentucky over Duke. Come on.
I'm not going to Kentucky.
See, I can't.
It's not gonna happen.
I can't placate the Sparty homers in my house and say play basketball for Michigan State. Though that would be fun. I'm trying to think. Where would I pick if I could play basketball anywhere? What program?
No Caterays allowed.
You want to play for like a blue blood program?
Yes.
Or, you know, more like an up-and-coming program. I think it's about arena. So this is a weird answer, but I would play basketball for Minnesota.
What?
Was not expecting that.
Minnesota?
Yeah, because I except for the weather. I was going to say, because that's like one of my favorite arenas, but it's my favorite non-blue blood arena in college basketball.
Okay.
And it's a great city. It's Big Ten. But the weather is the issue.
It's a pretty big issue.
I'm going to, you know what? Nah, never mind. I'll play basketball for UCLA.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
There's a plane landing that took place there. That's good.
So I'm going to go basketball too, no surprise. Not that I played or I was good whatsoever, but and Pac-12. I was going to go with blue blood because, you know, I love Kentucky, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball. Me and Sabrina, we're going to be teammates.
Sabrina, I.
And talk about the Nike deal I could have down there, NIL. And they have the sickest uniforms. They came and played at Syracuse. The Ducks, the green. We know Robbie likes those colors because his Packers. But
got an interesting gym floor out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Stanford because that's a great program, great part of the country. Blue blood, great education.
Probably cooler to live there than Eugene, Oregon, but we're going to go Oregon.
All right.
Okay, next sport one. If you could be an NFL coach for one day, which coach would you be?
For one day.
Actually, a week. Let's do a week.
An NFL coach.
For a week.
Game week. This week. Prepping for week one, which coach would you want to be?
Who's playing the Texans this week?
Light
That'd
week.
Be Urban Meyer. No, that's I'm just joking on that front. There's
light
never a
week.
Situation where I want to be Urban Meyer.
Okay, let me ask this question. So you're replacing this coach for a week, or you're actually like inhabiting their body like the movie Freaky Friday?
Like Freaky Friday. You are fully them for a week. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like for prepping for the game, but like you would just want to live their life for a week.
Okay.
And I just picked this one.
You got to pick
Vrabel,
I'll
go Sean McVay.
On Sean McVay, huh?
Sean McVay.
Golly, a lot of Rams love.
It's all everything points back to L.A. for me.
Apparently so.
So there you go. Coaching Matt Stafford, living in the if you saw the Hard Knocks.
I mean, I'd be Vrabel.
You go Vrabel?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would like do what I want Vrabel to do someday, and that is get into a physical altercation with somebody on the sideline.
So you'd fight people.
Yeah.
Would you give more information at press conferences?
Which media person would you fight?
I'm in favor of it.
I don't know if I'm fighting a media person, but like running out to the field and challenging Cliff Kingsbury this week if I'm Vrabel. Yeah.
Just one solid punch to Glennon's face, no?
Well, I don't know if I... What did Glennon do?
Kaharski in a headlock, little noogie on that dome, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
I'd be Vrabel.
I like it.
Yeah. I'd be Andy Reid.
Andy Reid's a good one.
I just feel like he's so jolly, and he just walk around town, and everybody's like...
Talking about cheeseburgers.
And
you
plus...
That cool windshield.
He's got a pretty good team, so he doesn't have to worry about much. Well,
you get to coach Pat Mahomes for me. That would be cool.
We could hang out. We could get lunch, me and Patty Mahomes. Okay, last one. This one's like non-sports. If you could give your younger self a piece of advice, let's say like high school self... Pre-college, what would that piece of advice be?
That's deep.
Buy Amazon stock as soon as it goes public. Every last cent that you have. And then everything else is gravy.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's actually a pretty good piece of advice. Mine would be, number one, appreciate naps while you can get them. That'd probably be the number one piece of advice because... adulthood happens and naps are a rarity at that point. Number two, I don't really know. I would say don't worry so much. Things tend to have a way of working out. I had a real answer on that one.
Yeah,
not just a getting rich answer on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I mean.
Come on, Joe. We need a real one from you. You've lived more life than Robbie.
If it's not a predict the future thing, we have the Back to the Future thing.
I saw that movie yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, I would say, not to get all deep, but I would say kind of the same, like appreciate stuff, appreciate things, appreciate loved ones, because you lose them in a snap of a finger sometimes, you know. So just be have a little bit better perspective on you know, the world and how little things that bother you really don't mean much. But that's still something I'd tell myself today sometimes.
Sure.
And be like, so wait, you're freaking out about this stupid thing and it really doesn't matter?
You're freaking out over Twitter and it really doesn't matter?
That's a good point.
Mine would
I still want to get rid of it, though.
You still want Mine would be work in something that you really like, because I have a lot of friends who have jobs and they just like do it to do it.
Sure.
But like work in something you love. And I feel like that's why we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day and we work here. So we have fun and have fun in life. Even though I only was in high school a couple years ago, 6 years, 7 years ago. I'll just say have fun. Work in something you like. Maybe I'll have a more wise answer in a couple years.
That's right. That's good.
No, that's good. I mean, it's, you know, you gotta be able to like your job. It's, I mean, some people don't, and they, you know, if you make like a lot of money, then that's good. You know, you can, you gotta have life balance, but it makes life a lot easier if you like what you do.
Absolutely.
This we all love what we do.
This has been such
it's like a Dr. Phil edition. This really is yours. Yeah. I like it. Well done.
Do some yoga after the show.
That's right. That is today's edition of The Choice Is Yours. We continue to encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. We'll be joined by Mark Howard. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.